Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you. With a humble heart, I ask for inspiration, for illumination, and for revelation of your word. That people are not just going to hear your word, but that they will be doer of the work. That they will, what they have heard will not stand against them, and what they are hearing will transform their life. In Jesus' mighty name. Can you imagine if you are at home around 2 a.m. and the smoke alarm started to ring? 2 a.m. I mean 2 a.m. And your daughter is calling your name. Hey, 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 hey. What will you do? A smoke alarm. You've closed your door. Your daughter is shouting. Hey, hey, hey. Of course, you will try and do your best to get there and do what you can do to deal with the situation. Why did I say that? Why did I go there? That happened to me just less than 2 weeks ago. There was no fire. There was no damage. There was nothing. But I tell you, enemy is always very, very cunning. And whether you like it or not, he's always on the rampage. There must be something living inside of you that no matter what, you know you have victory. Because you are fighting from victory. You are not fighting for victory. That is just a foretaste of what I'm going to share. And I have another one. When I get down and I went down the stairs, where is the alarm coming from? I mean, where I just opened the garage, just by instinct, and it stopped. And I went back up, and I put the blanket over myself. My wife was saying, "Oh, what happened? I said, nothing happened." But the lesson there is I experienced an amazing peace of God. Because I, even though I had what looks like fear, but I did not let that fear repress me from getting out. She was glad that at least I went. But then I went back to bed and I pulled the blanket. And she said, "Wait a minute. It shouldn't be done like that. We should pray and thank God." Do you see? You need a destiny partner. You don't know it all. You don't know it all. Fear will come. If you have, you have to pray that in your life, you have a life partner. You have to also pray that in the day of adversity, you will not collapse. Because if you collapse, as the scripture say, there is nothing much to you in the first instance. Amen? Now, this is where I'm going. And this is very, very important. Fear. Every believer's battle. For the sake of having a title, it is called fear. Every believer's battle. What does fear have to do with it? I will have some questions for us. So we're going to get engaged in this. Are we ready? I told us and we said we are ready. So are we ready? Question one. You said so. You said you are ready. Here. Is God alive? Hallelujah. I think that's an easy question. Is God still into signs and wonders? Is God still the God of miracles? Praise the Lord. Aha, it looks like we are ready. So, what then? This question is for all of us. And we can answer it. Three. One, two, three. Who is the believer's greatest enemy of our faith? The flesh? Another one? Self? Another one? All of them, they are true. Because it came to me when I was looking at this. However, I have decided to settle on fear. Fear is one of our most potent enemies for believers. And it should not be said that if we are people of faith, that then we are fearful. God is faithful, isn't it? And you are made in the image and after the likeness of God, isn't it? When God is faithful, it means that God is full of faith. So if he is going to make something in his image and after his own likeness, there must be some attributes that you take away. Is that correct? So that means there is an element of faith in you. And the Bible says that God has given to everyone at least a molecule of faith. There is nobody that has no faith. So why do we allow fear to expunge it? That is the question. And I'm going to talk about that today, time permitting. What is F? False experience appearing real. Fleeting experience appearing real. That is fear. How can that be the nemesis of the believer? Because it's not even real. It's not even real. Do you see in that example I gave you, I had to confront my fear and then it disappeared. By the grace of God, by the mercy of God. Whether it was big fire or whatever, I don't know. But I didn't lock myself in the room. I confronted it. So I want to give us three things. Everybody say three. Three things. It's very, very important. And I'm going to give it to us. One, two, go. The first one. What must you do? What must you do in terms of how do you live an overcoming life of faith? How? How can you live an overcoming life of faith? How? Three things. Number one, you must daily live in the presence of the Lord. I repeat that. Daily what? Live in the presence of the Lord. Matthew 6, 11. What did he say? Give us this day our daily bread. A life of believer is not a Sunday medicine. The life of the believer is not, I wake up in the morning, I pray, like daddy will say, shuka prayer for 3 minutes. Father, thank you. I'm going out now. God bless me. Bye. Okay, I'll see you. And as you are praying, you also say bye-bye to the children. That is not prayer. You must daily live in the presence of God. He said, give us this day our daily bread. What he's saying to you is that you need to ask God on a daily basis, on a regular basis, on an ongoing basis, day and night, to give you the wisdom, to give you the insight, to give you the spiritual need, that spiritual package that you need for every day. You must ask God every day. If you must live an overcoming life of faith, remember, I said, fear, the believer's battlefield. Fear. So, how do you overcome it? Number one, daily live in his presence. Number two, you must put what? Your faith. Put it to work. We are all used to that, okay? Book of James is very popular with that. Faith without work is what? It's dead. But this is where I'm going today. Can we go to the book of Joshua? Joshua 2 verse 9. We all know this story. This is the story of how Rahab, the harlot, what did she do? She when the Israelites were in the reconnaissance mission to spy out the promised land, and it looks like they've been found out. These men came to Rahab's house. And what did she do? She hid them. But let's go together to verse 9. Verse 9. And this is what touched me. She said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. Do you know your God? Do you know your God to actually take risk for God? This lady, she's actually like she's not part of, she's not an Hebrew. She's like a foreigner. And look at what she has done. She's a harlot. But she's heard about Christ. She's heard about the good news of the gospel. And she said, I know that the Lord has given you the land that the terror of you has fallen on us and that all the inhabitants are faint-hearted because of you. We all know that this is why our story entered into canonical scripture, because of what she did. Put your faith to works. If you have not received your own healing, either in the body, either in your finances, either in your family, are you putting your faith to work? Are you putting a premium on what you are hearing? That's a question for us to reflect on. And then, number three, and this is big, you must confront your fears daily, regularly, with the word of God. Can I repeat that? You must confront your fear daily, regularly, at all time, with the word of God. This is confrontation. We are not dealing with an adversary that is just going to say, "Ah, hello, how are you?" No. It has to be confronted. But it's not a physical battle. Daddy has mentioned several times, don't fight with people. Rebuke the spirit inside of them and cast it out. You must do that. Why? Joshua 1:8. And because of time, I will read Joshua 1:8 in the easy-to-read version. Easy-to-read version. It says, always what? Remember what is written in that book of law. Another scriptures, another version says that book of instruction. Then it says, speak. Everybody say, speak. I couldn't hear you. Speak. Speak about the book and study it. When? Day and night. And when you've done that, what will you do next? Then you can be sure to do what? To obey what is written there. Are you obedient to the word of God? Are you? If you do that, you will be wise and successful in everything you do. Fear will come. There's nothing you can do about that. But we are being equipped. Huh? We are being equipped daily. You must live in his presence. Give us this day our daily bread. Yes? That is very, very important. And then put your faith to work. Confront your fears. Where does fear come from? From your experience, from your environment, how you feel, how you think. If you are not feeling well, or if something is overwhelming you. But have you forgotten Psalm 119:89? Have you forgotten that? The word of God is what? It's forever settled. The word of God is forever settled. The word of God is forever settled. The word of God is forever settled in heaven. And if it is settled in heaven, it cannot be unsettled on earth. Amen? Standing firm in heaven, fasting to eternity, is the word of God. That is what the TPT says. Word of God, standing firm in heaven, and fasting to eternity, is the word of God. Praise the Lord. How do this faith come? By what? By hearing, and by hearing, and by hearing, by the word of God. Romans 10:17. You have heard now. So what are you doing about it? Rahab heard. She took action. And we are talking about her today. You have been hearing, you have been hearing, you have been hearing. No! You need to do something about it. I tell you one thing for 2 minutes. Just the Monday. That is Sunday to Monday. That is after Easter. I got an email. This is about office. one of the staff will be going on maternity shortly. Workload increased. Seriously. The second one, we have two others, but the second one, who knows everything, almost everything about what we do, she sent an email. I thank you for everything you've done for me these past 8 years. I'm tendering my letter of resignation. What will you do? This is real. There is no such thing as, I mean, you are a believer and you come to church, you do it all string and all of that, everything is going hunky-dory. No. But I didn't collapse by the grace of God. I raised that letter up to God. I said, I have no might against this great army. Because I just don't know how to fix it. I don't know what to do. But there's somebody who knows what to do. And it is the Holy Spirit of God. He knows what to do. Don't forget that you have a helper who is your counselor, who is your advocate, who is your standby, who is your intercessor, who is your comforter, and he will comfort you. I prayed about it, and I said, okay, I need to review some things. This is what I got in my spirit. Review some meetings. I reviewed it. Call her in the morning. Message her that you're going to talk to her. In the morning of that day, you know, Tuesday is the day that the work starts. And I called her. God gave me two reasons why she did that. And that's exactly what she confirmed. Overnight, she said, I'm looking forward to the next future at the office. Who tells you that the Lord that we serve is not alive? The resurrection power is alive. What you should be saying is that you may know him and the power of his resurrection so that he can resurrect every dead situation. There is no sickness that is too hard for God to heal. There is no finances that is too into red that God cannot fix. There is no mountain that God cannot move. What do you have to do? Only believe. That is my testimony. But it's because of the takeaway from Bible studies. Because of the takeaway from the teaching. Applied faith. Daily do what? Live in the presence of God. Number one. What do you do? Daily live in the presence of God. Number two. Exercise your faith. And number three. Confront your fear. Don't get that letter and say, oh, it's too hard. Don't sign for a package that is not yours. Daddy has mentioned this several times. Our sister Ginny said, I have enough. And she said, quit notice to all this dependency medication, and she's free. If you are ready, because I am ready, I'm ready. God is ready to take us to the next level in our faith life. And there is no principality or power that can stop it. The work of God, what God has declared and has ordained over this ministry, over your family, over your life, nothing can stop it. Who can stop the Lord God Almighty? Nothing. Amen? God is good. I feel like just firing on. I'm enjoying this. And I mean it. It is so, so refreshing. Now, what did Jesus say? Let's go to our Master. Master Jesus. Who does fear come from? Fear comes to all of us. I don't need to repeat that. And what is the cause of fear? Principal reason for cause of fear is disobedience. What you are hearing, what are you doing with it? If you don't do it, and you don't do it promptly, that is disobedience. Or if you do it according to your own way, that is disobedience. Genesis 3, 9, 11, quickly. Then the Lord of God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? So he said, I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid. Isn't that what fear does? Because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? This is where it all started from. This is where it all started from. Ask God to help you to live a life of obedience to the word of God. It is in your own self-interest to obey the word of God. And I'm going to be bringing this to a close right now. So Jesus, how did Jesus approach fear? In the book of Mark 5:35 to 36, what did he say to those who came from the ruler of the synagogue's house? They said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? 36. As soon as Jesus heard that, what did he say? He said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid. Only what? Only believe. Will you believe this morning? Will you believe the word of God? Will you trust the word of God? Proverbs 3:5 say, trust in the Lord with what? With all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your way, what should you do? Acknowledge him. And he will direct your path. Amen? Praise the Lord. Jesus gives us true rest. Matthew 11:25-30. I will only read 28 because of time. Come to me, he said, all you what? Who labor and are heavy laden. I will do what? I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Learn from my word. For I am gentle and lowly in the heart. And you will do what? You will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and what? And my burden is light. Do not worry. Worry is the next reason why people do not exercise faith. Why they are not acting in faith. And I'm not going to go through it because of time. But please read Matthew 6:25, 31, and 34. There is something in there. It says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. I'll skip to 31. Therefore again I say to you, do not worry what we shall eat. And 34, therefore it says, do not worry about tomorrow. Do not worry about your future. Jesus repeated it 3 times for emphasis. How many times has he said to you, do not worry? Are you listening? Are you listening? James 4:6 said, be anxious for what? For nothing. But by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God so that you can experience that peace. Amen. Amen. Father, I just want to thank you for what you have taught me and the way this has been shared. I pray beyond what has been shared that you will meet everyone at the point of their need. That by the grace of God, they will be able to speak and to confront their fear. Their life, they will live it in the daily presence of God. They will exercise their faith and they will be able to confront their fear. Father, I just want to give you praise. I want to give you glory. There can be miracles when you believe. All you have to do is to believe and act on the word of God. Praise the Lord. Amen.